Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Feldman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I have to say, during these times, it is absolutely essential that we get as informed and educated as possible, because we need to be able to navigate in this world with the greatest knowledge so we really can look after ourselves. So thank you for coming along on the show. I have an amazing interview that I'm very excited about. So I'm just going to jump right in, because we're going to be exploring Rapid Virus Recovery. That's the name of the new book by Dr. Thomas Levy. And it is a life-changing, profound book that I really encourage everyone to read. It's essential reading, I would say. And I want to just, first of all, share a little bit about Dr. Levy. He is a board-certified cardiologist and a bar-certified attorney. After practicing adult cardiology for 15 years, he began to research the enormous toxicity associated with much dental work, as well as the pronounced ability of properly administered vitamin C to neutralize this toxicity. He has now written 13 books, with several addressing the wide-ranging properties of vitamin C in neutralizing all toxins and resolving most infections, as well as its vital role in the effective treatment of heart disease and cancer. Others address the important roles of dental toxicity and nutrition in disease and health. And inducted into the Orthomolecular Medicine Hall of Fame in 2016, Dr. Levy continues to research the impact of the orthomolecular application of vitamin C and antioxidants in general on chronic degenerative diseases. His ongoing research involves documenting that all diseases are different forms and degrees of focal scurvy arising from increased oxidative stress, especially intracellularly, and that they all benefit from protocols that optimize the antioxidant levels in the body. And his latest book, Rapid Virus Recovery, is being given away to anyone who will download it for free, demonstrating that a proper protocol of hydrogen peroxide nebulization will reliably resolve COVID, often in its advanced stages, as well as monotherapy. Other effective ways to eradicate the virus will be discussed in the book and in our conversation today. So, first of all, I just want to welcome Dr. Thomas Levy to the show. It's such an honor and pleasure to have you here with us, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Selman.
You know, I just have to say, this book has just inspired me beyond words, because we are living in a time where there is so much a sense of powerlessness, a sense of powerlessness around the virus. And what you have provided with us, and your years and brilliance and expertise, are powerful, simple, inexpensive, and proven ways that we can protect our body, get healthy, and therefore not be afraid of a virus that may be circulating, or any viruses that may be circulating in the future. This is empowering for all of us, empowering for humanity, and that's the message that is so needed right now. So first of all, thank you for being inspired to put all this information into your book that is extremely easy to read for people. So we're going to jump right in, and I really want people to understand, and all my listeners to understand, how important this conversation is today, because you're going to be given the tools to empower you and your health, and making sure you have the skills and tools to look after your health at this time, safely and effectively. So, Tom, let's just jump into this, because this is an important conversation. I want us to have lots of time on the show today to explore as much as we can. So, where should we begin? Should we talk about hydrogen peroxide? Should we talk about let's talk about your understanding of viruses, and then we can go into talking about the solution with many of the protocols you mentioned in the book.
Well, viruses basically by themselves are inanimate. They don't really replicate unless they can invade a host cell. So they're not typically living in the sense that a cell lives, but in terms of practical impact on your body, you can consider the virus as an infectious pathogenic entity because it grows even though it's using cells. The things about most viruses, I say most because, you know, you can get viruses from blood transfusions, sexual transmission in other ways, sometimes food contamination. But probably the primary way by which most people get most viral infections is by the respiratory tract. You inhale the virus in a certain concentration, and when you get a big enough expression, a big enough exposure, then it takes hold in the mucosal linings of the nose and throat. And depending on the virus, it settles in around your throat and causes a cold, or it disseminates more widely and causes something along the lines of influenza or even pneumonia. So in the case of COVID, it appears that it's a respiratory virus that is especially avid in binding up cellular sites in the cells lining the respiratory tract. So the respiratory tract inside the lungs from the outset gets especially targeted by the COVID virus, which is probably the primary reason why the respiratory difficulties and eventual respiratory failure, if you're unable to turn the infection around, is the primary thing to fear about COVID, is being able to have a progressive syndrome inside your lungs and not be aware of or have access to the many different ways, and I emphasize many, the many different ways in which you can interrupt and stop this virus and affect a complete recovery.
And, you know, as a naturopathic doctor, I have investigated and been aware of so many natural solutions that have this antiviral effect that I've never been, you know, freaked out, you might say, by the presence of a virus or the flu or whatever may be showing up, because we have known solutions throughout the ages, actually, that have been able to successfully support our body when we are in the presence of a virus. And what we need to remember, and what's so important as we continue this conversation, is that we have at our fingertips, for a very small amount of money, the ability to protect our bodies on many levels, that we become so immune enhanced that we really can be vulnerable to things that are going on in our environment. And that's empowerment. You know, we don't want to be fearful, because if anything, fear will just weaken our immune system and make us more vulnerable to a variety of things. So we're going to talk about some of your preferred modalities and strategies that you have worked with over the years and you have researched and found to be incredibly profound, and help us understand why that is. So your favorite modality is hydrogen peroxide. It seems to be, through in this book anyway, is the use of hydrogen peroxide through a nebulizer. So let's start there, Tom. Let's go into that whole strategy and modality.
Sure. And let me say at the outset that although it disappoints me to see so many people continue to be deadly afraid of this and are turning into more neurotic basket cases than they need to with all the mask wearing and everything else, by the same token, I completely understand it. Before I ran into the hydrogen peroxide nebulization, I was pretty scared myself. I had some personal experiences that hit close to home with close friends who developed respiratory problems. And hey, that's not something you see with the cold. That's not something you see with the flu. So it was very clear to me that we were dealing with something new that could be deadly if you didn't do the right things. Emphasis on not doing the right things. When you do the right things,
for both prevention and you do the right things for both treatment, it's an inconsequential statistical mortality. It's just a question of how quickly you can get over it. Now, with regard to the hydrogen peroxide, the naysayers would just hear that and say, oh, hydrogen peroxide, you're dealing with bleach, you're dealing with something that sterilizes surfaces, antiseptic. Well, first of all, let me say there's no reason, before we even go into any more detail, to not appreciate that hydrogen peroxide can kill all the pathogens sitting on your kitchen counter. They can kill all the pathogens they contact inside your body. Say, oh, well, but this is toxicity. Not really. Let me first say hydrogen peroxide nebulization, for people that don't know the word, is where you have a special device, a nebulizer, and it causes the liquid hydrogen peroxide to be to produce a fine vapor or mist that you can inhale, just like a respiratory treatment. Now, with regard to hydrogen peroxide, it's very important. Think of water. Water is H2O. Think of oxygen. Oxygen is O2. Think of hydrogen peroxide. It's H2O2. Hydrogen peroxide is produced from the two most common and two most important molecules in your body and is arguably in the top three or four or five molecules in your entire body in both amount and impact. There's not a single cell it's not found in. There's not a single extracellular outside the cell area where it's not found. And in fact, it's secreted by the epithelial cells lining your lungs so that hydrogen peroxide at a very low concentration is released into the air as you inhale. And this is because it's a natural antibiotic treatment that the body expresses in order to deal with pathogens that you do encounter with every breath that you take. So like I said before, contracting an infection just has to do with concentration and duration of exposure, and of course your innate immune status. So this begs the question then, or it should beg the question perhaps, that if you can inhale hydrogen peroxide and be comfortable and not have any problem doing that, and you kill the pathogens that are present, what does the hydrogen peroxide leave behind? What sort of horrible toxic byproducts does it leave behind? Well, the toxic byproducts that it leaves behind are water and oxygen. You couldn't design a more perfect anti-pathogen agent inside the body than hydrogen peroxide to do all the dirty work of killing the pathogens and then leave behind water, which hydrates the injured tissue that was infected, and oxygen, which oxygenates the tissue that was damaged by the infection. And so you not only kill the pathogen, but you leave behind the two things that are most important in your body to allow damaged tissue to heal. I can't really make it any clearer than that. Now, there's lots of people out there. I've gotten lots of feedback from around the world. I must say 95% plus of it is positive. There are consistent folks who get very aggravated by inhaling it, burning, sneezing. And really, that's easily addressed too. You just dilute it down with saline until you find a concentration that's comfortable. But I think a lot of people like to push it and be macho rather than just deal with what their unique body susceptibilities are. But I have an article on this, and all I can say is this shocked me because I didn't know hydrogen peroxide nebulization was even this good. But a colleague of mine in Columbia, South America, I have family members down there, had a nebulizer, and she was basically got known in her neighborhood during the pandemic as somebody who could help out the COVID patients who were too poor to go to the hospital. Fortunate for them because they wouldn't have got this. And she just went over to their homes with their nebulizer, with the peroxide, and she treated 20 patients who had COVID. Many of them had been tested and were positive, and the rest had identical clinical symptoms. Nearly all of them were severely short of breath. Now, let me just say, if you're severely short of breath with COVID and you're not taking anything that's going to inhibit or attack the virus, you don't have long to live. I mean, you're already going into acute respiratory failure. Well, in that setting, she nebulized these patients 3 times a day, pretty long period of time, though, 30 minutes each time, so 90 minutes a day, using the 3% peroxide, did this for 5 days, and she completely cured 20 out of 20 cases. And of also a special importance to anybody who's suffering is all of the people, as soon as they started the peroxide nebulization, almost immediately they started breathing easier. Because when you inhale hydrogen peroxide, you elevate immediately your blood oxygen, 2, 3, 4 points or more. And so the overwhelming thing with this is I would never in my situation tell somebody to just nebulize peroxide and nothing else. I mean, I say do everything you have, hydrogen peroxide, vitamin C, ivermectin, chloroquine, ozone, ultraviolet blood irradiation, whatever you have available, do it all. So I would have never known, because I would have never allowed myself to just use hydrogen peroxide nebulization and nothing else. This demonstrated to me, though, that if you do it right, this is a powerful monotherapy, standalone therapy that has already shown it can cure advanced COVID by itself with nothing else. And then you combine this with the fact as to why I wrote the book, which is because hydrogen peroxide is dirt cheap, available around the world, something you can administer to yourself. No toxicity would apply properly. You don't need a doctor. You don't need a hospital. You can share the equipment with neighbors. There's nothing else that I can think of that will cure COVID and viruses that fit all these categories. Not everybody has access to vitamin C. Certainly not everybody has access to ozone or any of the other prescription drugs. But to the best of my knowledge, just about everywhere on the planet, you can get a hold of a few pennies worth of hydrogen peroxide and prevent yourself from having a multi-$100,000 hospitalization, which is the why as to why hydrogen peroxide will never be embraced. So before people even start asking, where are the double-blind, placebo-controlled trials? There are none, and there never will be.
Hydrogen peroxide has been used for a long, long time. It's been around, and it's been known to have beneficial effects for, you know, hundreds of years, I would say. Is that true, Tom, that it's been, you know, known and used?
Oh, sure. No, hydrogen peroxide is a... I don't know precisely how old it is, but yeah, no, it's been around as a basic antiseptic agent, probably along with isopropyl alcohol for just about as long as there's been man's ability to build a small chemical producing facility, and that would be one of the first things they produce because they're so simple. But no, I don't think you get anything more basic than that. And it's reflected, at least now, who knows what the future holds, as being so incredibly cheap. I calculated with a 56 cent bottle of hydrogen peroxide, 1 pint from Walmart, you could easily cure 20 or 25 patients from the amount of peroxide in that one bottle. So you could literally cure a patient, assuming you have the nebulizer, for less than a couple pennies. Now, I don't think anybody has any problem understanding how money-centered the healthcare industry is. What they don't appreciate, though, much of the time, is that's really their sole motivation. And if the patient gets well, it's just an incidental side effect of a therapy that they can give, but I see, and it saddens me immensely, this huge numbers of patients getting minimal, nominal treatments, and the healthcare system as it's presently structured just ruthlessly, obscene profit-wise, pushes these people into bankruptcy, losing homes, losing savings accounts for the kids to go to college, losing everything. And it should not be that way. You know, I'm not saying we need a system of health care where it's cheap and nobody pays anything, but by the same token, we need to find a system where people are not completely and totally devastated if they're unfortunate enough to get into a car accident and rupture a spleen and have to get a surgery and are left with a $100,000 bill when they only make $15,000 a year. So something has to be done about that ultimately. And the other thing is, and this is the problem too that goes along with the cheapness, is some people might say, well, wow, he's really taken off on doctors and everything. Well, let me just say this. If you take out a gun and fire it at somebody and it hits them in the heart and they die, you're a murderer. Now, how about if you're the person in charge of a patient's care, the patient has sepsis in the intensive care unit, the family is begging the doctor to give vitamin C intravenously, giving the doctor hordes of papers in the peer-reviewed literature, and the doctor refuses to start the IVC, the intravenous vitamin C. For what reason? Arrogance, don't want to be told what to do. This is not how we do it. We don't practice voodoo medicine. When that patient dies, that doctor is every much the assassin that the person that had the gun in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why these conversations are so important, because we have to be empowered. People have to be empowered with the knowledge, because I think it's becoming clearer that if we're relying on a corrupt system, it's not to our advantage, or they really aren't dedicated to healing us in all possible ways. And we are now needing to step up, and more than ever before. So I just want to clarify, if people, the type of hydrogen peroxide that can be used is the form that's found in drugstores. You don't need like a 3% food grade hydrogen peroxide?
You know, I get that question a lot, and I've used the regular hydrogen peroxide from Walmart for some time. I do have food grade that I use every now and then. Probably the best way to approach it is the regular peroxide is fine and does the job for the infection, but if you're going to adopt intermittent nebulization with hydrogen peroxide, because it has far more effects than just knocking out a cold or a flu or COVID, the effects that we talk about on the intestine and the gut, if you're going to use it on a regular basis indefinitely, well, then it's probably worth the time and effort and investment, not a big investment, to get a purer form of the hydrogen peroxide that has none of the stabilizer agents that the regular peroxide has in the over-the-counter preparations. But by no means, if you have an infection and you think you're about to get one, or you're already well into it, and all you have is the over-the-counter bottle of hydrogen peroxide, for goodness sakes, don't hesitate to use it. Not that you would damage yourself anyway, but you're going to hurt yourself far worse by letting that infection go untreated.
Okay, so I think that's really great for clarification's sake. And just going back to nebulizers, for people who haven't ever been exposed to a nebulizer, which you can find online, I guess online or in your drugstore or Walmart, whatever. But it covers your nose and your mouth. And it just turns liquid into, as you were saying, that fine mist. So you can breathe it deeply down into your lungs. So it can actually get exactly where you want it to go into that lung tissue and support that healing there. And as you were saying, we're going to go into all the benefits, because in reading your book, I actually got quite enlightened about the many benefits of nebulizing with hydrogen peroxide. So first of all, people need to find a good nebulizer. Do you recommend nebulizers in your book, Tom?
Well, there's two types of nebulizers. There's the tabletop model that's a little larger. It's an air pump. That's all it is an air compressor, air pump that pushes air, and you have a long tube. And the action part of the nebulizer is just a little small chamber where you put the liquid in, and then this jet of air pretty much blasts the liquid against another surface that makes the vapor. But the unit itself is nothing but a simple air pump. And no, I don't have any brand recommendation for that at all. They come in different sizes and shapes. Sometimes the smaller ones are more desirable if you want to pay a little more money, and then they're easy to travel with. So that's the air pump. And then they have the handheld nebulizers that use a different mechanism of ultrasonic nebulization, and they work very well. And if you don't want to sit still while you nebulize for if you're 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, you can walk around the room with it in your hand, or you can travel with it very easier. I would just say that if your pennies are few and you're pinching them, don't spend them on a handheld, because they're pretty delicate. They'll break fairly easily, whereas a $30 or $40 investment will give you the air compressor type model that, hey, it's noisy, like an air pump you would expect it to be, but shoot, unless it's a defect, it'll last for life, and the whole family can use it, friends can use it. They just have their own separate little tubes to connect to it, and mouthpieces and nebulization chambers, which are just a few bucks per set.
Oh, that's great. Okay. It's always good to ask those specific questions. I want to go back to hydrogen peroxide, because when I was reading your book, it made me aware of just how profound this molecule, and I have to emphasize, our body makes hydrogen peroxide. This is a natural molecule that is essential to protect us from invasion of all sorts of pathogens and to optimize our body's ability to function. So hydrogen peroxide is part of who we are and is required to support our life and our health. So we're talking about a natural molecule, but we are using this form, an exterior form, so we can increase the production of hydrogen peroxide when we are in crisis. So let's go from there, Tom, and let's get into all of the amazing benefits of increasing hydrogen peroxide levels in the body.
Well, you know, you talked about hydrogen peroxide being made in the body, and it is. It's made in very large amounts. It's inside the cells. It's outside the cells. It functions in a lot of different metabolic pathways, far above and beyond just working at the level of creating oxidative stress that kills a pathogen or kills an infected cell. But it should be interesting to note that in normal breathing, as much as 5% of the oxygen that you take in with every breath is incorporated into newly synthesized hydrogen peroxide. So the presence of hydrogen peroxide is not a minimal presence at all. It's present everywhere in very large amounts. And like everything else, when you get an infectious disease that overwhelms your system, your body needs a little help. And so that's why the inhalation of the hydrogen peroxide is so significant, because it's just naturally bolstering what the body tries to do with lower pathogen concentrations. So, I mean, make no doubt about it, every breath you take has pathogens in it. We live in a pathogen-filled world. It's just, again, a matter of concentration and duration. And so the other thing, too, is it's interesting, too, that the role that vitamin C and hydrogen peroxide play together. And really, this just happened, if you will. For most people who know anything about me, they know I've written a lot about vitamin C long before I ever came across hydrogen peroxide and the material that I've written about lately. And as it turns out, serendipity, chance, whatever, it turns out that everything I wrote about vitamin C just dovetails just perfectly into what's going on with hydrogen peroxide. And especially, not exclusively, but especially with regard to pathogens, something that's described in the book that might be a little technical for some people, but you have inside your cells the presence of hydrogen peroxide. And it's quite stable. It doesn't do anything until you put it into an acidic, pathogen-filled, iron-filled environment, and then it becomes unstable and breaks down into something called hydroxyl radical that kills pathogens and kills the cells. Now, the thing is that reaction is called the Fenton reaction, very well described in the literature. Anybody who's curious can just type in Fenton, and you'll see all sort of articles as to how this figures in pathogen eradication. But vitamin C as an antioxidant has electrons it can donate. So you take a large amount of vitamin C, it goes into the cell, it donates electrons to ferric ion 3+, that makes it ferrous ion 2+, and that then a ferrous ion gives the electron to hydrogen peroxide, which breaks down and makes the hydroxyl radical, which kills everything. Now, basic chemistry tells you that if you want a reaction to continue going on, you need to continue giving it all the substrate. So you need to continue to provide new electrons, vitamin C. You need to continue to provide new electron relays, which is the ferrous ion, and you need to have more hydrogen peroxide come in to be broken down. And as it turns out, and this is so elegant as to how all this time we know in the literature what vitamin C does in high multigram doses for infectious disease, and now we know why, because when you give the high dose of vitamin C, you continue to supply new electrons. And this is interesting, the high dose of vitamin C intravenously also allows an enormous, not a small amount, an enormous amount of hydrogen peroxide to be produced outside the cell. And hydrogen peroxide is a small molecule that diffuses into the cell. So you have more vitamin C, more hydrogen peroxide, and the hydrogen peroxide inside the cell helps break down the storage forms of iron into the free iron that's used to catalyze a reaction. So just the presence of giving large amounts of vitamin C directly and indirectly allows all three elements of this Fenton reaction to just continue churning until you've completely killed the pathogen or the pathogen-infected cell. It's just utterly elegant.
And that is the brilliance of our body and how it works. And, you know, this profound intelligence if we just give it what it requires. So the role of vitamin C is enhancing the production of hydrogen peroxide, which is made in the body, but it's going to increase the body's ability to make even more. Is that a simplified way of saying that?
Yes, and in fact, it's interesting too, when you have inflammation, secondary typically to an infection, which consumes the antioxidants. Where you see the infection, you start consuming antioxidants, and pretty soon all the vitamin C disappears. That triggers an immune response. The first cell from the immune response is the monocyte or the macrophage, a white blood cell. As it turns out, that white blood cell is chock full of two things, vitamin C and hydrogen peroxide. It's got 80-fold, 8,000% more vitamin C inside it than the surrounding blood, and an incredibly large amount of peroxide as well. So the first cell of your immune system to go to a site of infection-induced inflammation are the two things you need most to eradicate the infection.
Wow, that's so fascinating. And that's why when you are feeling sick or under the weather, you need to take lots of vitamin C on an ongoing basis to help replenish, because it's all being used up by the immune system to do its job. So you have to increase the vitamin C, and I always recommend people take it, you know, hourly if they're sick, not just a couple times a day. And I'd like to know your thoughts on that as well.
No, absolutely. And the only reason to take it different would be if you have different forms available to you. If you have intravenous, obviously that's great. If you have a very good liposome encapsulated form of vitamin C, that gets it inside the cells more effectively. But for most people, you just have a big bottle of sodium ascorbate or ascorbic acid powder. Either one is fine. The ascorbic acid powder just tends to be a little tougher on the stomach, and the sodium ascorbate is like a buffered form. It's tolerated very easily. Yes, you're already feeling sick. You just take a little level teaspoon every hour. If you start to get loose bowels, then you cut back a little bit on the dose, but you just keep it up around the clock. And any protocol that continues to give vitamin C, you're going to get better. I mean, it's funny because, let's say, the founding father of vitamin C therapy, Dr. Frederick Klenner, back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, he started using the vitamin C shortly after it was discovered by Dr. Albert St. George, who won the Nobel Prize for the discovery of vitamin C. And somehow Dr. Klenner had the genius, and I do say genius, to understand that vitamin C would be useful in infections. And so he rapidly developed so much experience, so incredibly positive, that in his office, the nurses were told, when you have a new patient, after you do the paperwork, go hook them up in the treatment room and start the intravenous vitamin C, and then Dr. Klenner will see the patient.
So everyone got it.
So everyone got it.
Right. So,
you know, vitamin C is the nutrient, the fuel of your body. Your body runs on electrons. Vitamin C is the antioxidant that produces the most electrons to the various tissues throughout the body. It can use the glucose transporters to get inside the cell. It donates 2 electrons per molecule rather than 1. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. There's a lot of antioxidants out there that also donate electrons, but they're different chemical structures that don't get everywhere that you need help. The thing that vitamin C does is it gives up its electrons easily, and it gets everywhere you need it to go. So it's literally the fuel source that your body runs on, and probably the greatest damage in the world was done to vitamin C by calling it a vitamin, because the definition of a vitamin is something that you don't make in your body, that you need in just fairly small amounts in order to defend, in order to avoid a vitamin deficiency syndrome, in this case, scurvy. Well, in the case of vitamin C, most people and most docs don't realize it, but we lost the genetic machinery to make vitamin C. We have 4 enzymes in the liver that convert glucose to vitamin C, and we have an epigenetic deficiency of the 4th enzyme, so we don't make it. But most of the animals in the wild do, and animals that are the size of a human being will make 9, 10, 11 grams a day and secrete it directly into the blood. You don't get 9 grams of vitamin C in your blood by taking 9 grams orally. You take it by taking closer to 25 or 30 grams orally to get that amount in there. So when you realize that, yes, it does prevent the deficiency disease called scurvy, but it's much more appropriate to call vitamin C the most important nutrient in your body and not the most important vitamin.
Absolutely, especially when you talked about how important it is for those white blood cells. They have high levels of concentration. And then, as you were sharing with us, vitamin C is critically important to produce the hydrogen peroxide. So it's this, amazing system that is enhancing at every turn the body's ability to have a strong immune system.
Once you rise above the whole situation, it's just elegant. It's just absolutely, perfectly, wonderfully elegant.
It's genius.
Matter of fact, let me go from those facts to my opinion/speculation. Because of what I told you about the monocytes and the immune system, and because of the fact that all of the conditions that trigger an immune system response involve increased oxidative stress and inflammation, either by an infection or otherwise, all of which consume vitamin C, And the only thing that's going to quench that inflammation is bringing in antioxidants, usually vitamin C. It's my opinion that the primary function of the immune system is to quickly and rapidly supply vitamin C to the areas that have been most acutely and severely depleted.
No. Well, that would make sense to me after what you've explained. If our, you know, if our white blood cells have huge amounts of vitamin C, there you go, right? They need to do their jobs, and that's what they require.
No, it's pretty impressive, I must say. Nature and God knew what they were doing.
Yeah, it's this intelligence of life. We go back to honoring nature, and I think that's what is so important right now during this time when we think that our salvation is coming from, you know, something made in the lab.
Even more kind of amazing is, and this is very common with physicians, but scientists in general that deal with biology, is we always seem to think that things happen in isolation. I mean, there's nothing that you take in your body that you have in your body that does one thing. It's doing untold numbers of things and untold number of interactions throughout your body and every tissue, everywhere. So it's incredible, though, but we're cut up into subspecialties such that if something does is not going on in the ear, nose, and throat, or not going on in the heart, or not going on in the kidney, if it's not occurring there, then I'm not interested. That's my specialty. And it's just a totally wrong-headed attitude that we have toward medicine in general.
I had a guest on recently, and he shared a fact with me that just blew me away. He said that the cell performs 1 billion biochemical reactions per second.
We have a quantum
computer, right? Our cells, and everything is impacting ourselves. Every thought, every exposure, everything going on is having an impact. So we have to understand the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual components of healing. They all are impacting us every second in ourselves. Fascinating.
Yes, absolutely. Let me talk a little bit more about what peroxide does outside of dealing with pathogens in the aerodigestive tract. What I immediately found early on is that when you start nebulizing hydrogen peroxide, horrible bowel symptoms just start resolving. And people who have had loose form stools start developing the most perfectly formed stools in their life. And it then became apparent, what have we said causes disease? Causes disease is oxidation. The main sources of oxidation, pro-oxidation toxins, are pathogens and their contents and their metabolic byproducts. Well, when you have a cold or a flu or COVID, and you don't eradicate it with antiviral measures that kill the virus, like ozone or something like that, you will have a chronic pathogen colonization inside your nose and throat and sinuses and in your lungs indefinitely. And you might not even feel sick. But what you will do is you'll continue to create pathogens and toxins that you swallow, low grade, 24/7. When you nebulize with the peroxide, you knock out the biofilm that protects those pathogens from antibiotics, and then you wipe out the bugs, and then normal flora can grow back. That, combined with the fact that the leaky gut syndrome in the intestine, that's where you get such a negative impact of these pathogens in your intestine because the intestinal lining gets damaged. It allows pathogens and their toxins to get into the systemic circulation and get into tissues throughout your body. Well, guess what? Those epithelial cells regenerate every 3, 4, 5 days. And you would be amazed to see how many people with advanced bowel symptoms, some reported back to me 2 years of diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, you name it, some of them Crohn's disease, getting better. What happens is when you stop the pathogens from above, the intestinal cells heal very quickly because they regenerate. They're brand new cells 4 or 5 days later. And if you don't repoison those new cells, you go from a leaky gut to an intact gut very quickly. So leaky gut is not so much a chronic disease as it's a chronic acute induction of a disease. In other words, you just keep on poisoning the new cells, the new cells, the new cells, but it's the poisoning, the toxins that's chronic and not the disease. And it's just incredible how much hydrogen peroxide nebulization regulates this and resolves this. Although in the book, there's a lot of other things you should do to help the hydrogen peroxide nebulization. Keep your mouth and oral cavity and sinuses and lungs clear of pathogens, and all of those things are important.
That, to me, is, I'm just thinking about what you said, is so profound, because we have such a problem with a compromised gut microbiome, gut environment. And what I've been learning from you is that by nebulizing hydrogen peroxide, you are actually able to get to the root cause of why we have such a compromised gut microbiome and environment and begin a profound healing process for, and because our gut is also so involved with our immune system, it's all connected.
And I don't have all the feedback yet. I'm still getting a lot of it, but I'm quite convinced because of the nature of what gluten toxicity and food allergies and peanut butter and peanuts, those are just highly allergenic proteins that you don't digest completely. And you have a leaky gut, so large chunks of the protein gets into your lymphatics and blood supply, and you form potent immune reactions. I think on a regular regimen, and it has to be varied from one person to the next, so people, I can't give you a fixed protocol, but on a regular regimen that you finally adjust for yourself, everybody's got to follow how their body's feeling. I think with the resolution of the leaky gut, all these gluten problems will just disappear. I mean, when you go into the drugstore these days, how many aisles are dedicated to gut-related conditions? Diarrhea, constipation, acid, gas, you name it. I mean, but in my opinion, if something comes along that corrects me, I'll acknowledge it. But my opinion, when you stop swallowing a never-ending production of new pathogens and toxins from your oral pharynx and your nasal pharynx and your throat, oh, the body and the gut just springs back. It's just incredible.
And again, it's getting to that root cause rather than trying to manage a situation. It's really getting to the bottom line for healing.
My mentor, Dr. Hal Huggins, told me many years ago, we were talking about something else, but a similar concept. And he looked at me somewhat frustrated and said, Tom, I said, yes, sir. He said, you can't dry off while you're still in the shower. And all we're doing is trying to repair processes or make symptoms better while either not being aware of, not knowing, and completely not addressing the new, ongoing, daily, 24/7 toxic insult that's causing whatever the problem is that you're dealing with in the first place. You only get an improvement in a chronic disease when you get enough new antioxidation in your body in excess of the new toxins that come into the body. Then you start to see diseases improve.
Right. Okay. Well, you have included a few other support supplements that help with the body's ability to recover. So can we cover them? Well, in the time we have left, because you've shared so many powerful and effective strategies, and I want people to really understand what they need to have available right now, every day, and start taking these supplements and working with these strategies. By the way, so you can, if you're dealing with the symptoms of a virus, then you immediately start your nebulizing with the hydrogen peroxide, and you can add the vitamin C. What about if you have gut problems but you don't really have any, symptoms of a cold or a virus or whatever may be lurking? Can you then nebulize on a weekly basis just to optimize your health?
Weekly or more often. Like I said, I can't give a set protocol because everybody's got to get their own feedback. But yes, absolutely. And with regard to supplements, I always like to say, there's thousands of supplements out there, and most of them have positive value, but you can't take 1,000 supplements. You can't afford them. Your stomach's not big enough to take them all in there. So then when people say, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? All I can say is, let me give you what I consider to be the important baseline supplements. That's vitamin C in multigram doses. That's magnesium chloride. Especially good to take the chloride, because magnesium chloride, incredibly enough, has its own potent antiviral effect. So magnesium in the form of magnesium chloride, 500 to 1,500 milligrams daily. Again, bowel tolerance will clue you in on that. Vitamin D, it's very important to keep your D levels in the 40 nanogram per cc, 40 to 50 to 60 nanogram per cc range, which means you do need a blood test at some point in time. Zinc is especially important in the context of dealing with these infections, because it's zinc that allows that controls the replicative machinery inside the cell so that the virus doesn't replicate out of control. Then you have other things like quercetin, which also works to get zinc inside the cell where you need it the most, and a host of other good supplements. But those are the biggies. I mean, when people say, well, B vitamins, yeah, B vitamins are good too. But with the public in general, not only from the point of expense, but from the point of view of compliance, you have to keep it simple. I mean, if you tell people to take 15 different supplements, they're going to get frustrated and take none. You pare it down to three or four important ones, and a lot of people can get into that, and the net effect is you'll help a whole lot more people a greater percentage of the time.
Well, you've given us a really fantastic understanding of what we can do to really take care of ourselves, to protect ourselves, to go back and work with the power, the healing power of nature, in a way that is profoundly effective and affordable, which is always an important part of what people are looking for to look after their health. And I just want everyone to realize that you've put together this amazing book, Rapid Virus Recovery. You are making the ebook available to everyone for free. So that needs to be repeated. And people can go to peakenergy.com, I believe, Tom, to get a copy of that book, the e-book.
Well, that would be for the physical book. The website to download the book is RVR, that stands for Rapid Virus Recovery, rvr.medfoxpub.com. rvr.medfoxpub.com, and you'll go. And the other thing, too, is if you just Google my name, this has gotten out there so much, this book pops up on the front page, and if you just look a little bit on my name on Google, you'll quickly find a website where you can download it as well. Also, it's available in Spanish. I have it available in English and Spanish.
That's great. So I'm going to repeat that website for people, and people get my archive shows. I'll have all that information there as well. And that website is rvr.medfoxpub.com. www.thelungsmart.com and absolutely download that free copy of Dr. Thomas Levy's new book, Rapid Virus Recovery. It will save your life and the lives of those that you love, and share this profound information that Dr. Thomas Levy is making available to all of us throughout the world. Thank you so much for this amazing conversation, for your dedication. You're a true doctor, true healer, and I'm just honored to have this conversation with you, Dr. Thomas Levy, for all the great work you've been doing for your life. Thank you so much, and for the many lives that you are transforming and saving. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Dr. Selman. We need to get the word out, right?
Absolutely. And I know we will all be doing our part. So you take care. Have a blessed day. And thank you all for listening.